you know, happy is the man or woman who knows who he or she is and who he or she isn't. And that's probably just as important as knowing who you are. Because if you're trying to be somebody that you're not, that can lead to years of deception for yourself as well as other people. So I just want to be real with you today. I am not a world-class preacher like my brother Kev. I thank God for him. He's amazing and so gifted, so anointed. He's taught me so much. And but what God helped me learn about myself is that I'm a Barnabas. Barnabas means son of encouragement.
Yeah, yeah.
So whenever you want to weep, it's okay. I encourage you. I don't get what's going on here, but I know it is. It's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He's doing a work. So I'm here to encourage you today because that's who I am and what I'm called to do. So I pray that this word as an encouragement to you, I feel like Patty's a total encourager. She's just really gifted. Do you guys need to stand up and shake a little bit and then sit back down again? Are you guys okay? You guys okay? You hanging in there with me? Okay, good. We could jump and shout and boogie about, couldn't we? Let's see. Well, the word that the Lord put on my heart for you this morning is not a recycled word. It's something that's absolutely specific for you this morning. So I pray that you receive it as such. There are so many examples, so many references to share in the Bible to bring home the message God's put on my heart for you today. I mean, we could have gone in a million different directions, but fortunately, out of the scores of people and situations, God gave me really one specific place for us to go today. So that's where we're going to focus. And in the scripture references, there are so many themes and rabbit trails you could go on. But no, I'm learning to speak what the Lord gives me to speak and let Him do the rest and get out of the way. So here we go. We ready this morning? Okay. Moses was a miracle child. He was spared by God from the edict of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, that all male Hebrew children of the day were to be killed at birth. And as we know, not coincidentally, Moses then was nursed by Jochebed, his mother, for 3 months. And then he was raised in Pharaoh's household by Pharaoh's daughter. So he's a Levite by birth, but he's raised and educated in the finest of ways. I mean, he has access to everything anyone could ever have wanted in his day. And instead of going through all of the scriptures about Moses in the first five books of the Bible, we're going to go to the book of Acts. And Stephen's got a great synopsis of the life of Moses in his testimony shortly before Stephen is stoned to death by the church. That's a whole different message, but we're just going to focus on what Stephen has to say about all of this. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. And I'm reading out of the New King James. Hopefully that's okay for everyone today. So in Acts chapter 7, say you're there when you're there.
There.
Okay, thank you. In verse 17, let's start. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt until another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people, oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. How many know that what's going on around the world today is very similar to what was going on even in these days? Verse 20, at this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. But when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. Verse 26, and the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another?" But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" Oh, then at the saying, Moses fled and became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. Verse 30, and when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses trembled and dared not look.
Wow, powerful.
Then the Lord said to him, "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt." This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Now, there are many things, aren't there, that we could highlight here in this scripture reference. We could underline and we could learn from Stephen's testimony some powerful things from these verses. But we're going to focus on what the Lord gave me for you today. Moses spent his first 40 years learning all the world's ways. He grew up in Pharaoh's household. He had access to the very finest, to the best education of the day. He spent his first 40 years, as you'll notice, he's not married yet. He's not gone out to his brethren yet. He spent his first 40 years right in Pharaoh's household, being raised there and learning the world's ways. Then, after being confronted by the guy who was doing his neighbor wrong and saying, "Who made you ruler and lord over us?" Moses flees to Midian And he spends the next 40 years learning how to shepherd, learning what it means to do real work. So he spends his first 40 years learning the world's ways. He spends the next 40 years learning to work, learning to be a shepherd. So at 80, ladies and gentlemen, Moses was finally in the place where the Lord could use him.
Powerful.
He was 80 when finally the Lord said, "Now you're ready." He was finally prepared through everything that he'd gone through to hear God's voice and obey.
Excellent.
And that's when God shows up in the burning bush. He's 80 years old when he hears God's voice. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Let's turn to Exodus chapter 24. It's a very simple word that the Lord gave me for you this morning, but I pray that you'll have ears to hear. Exodus 24, verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone, and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them." So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you, and if any man has a difficulty, let him go to them." Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called out to Moses in the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. What really strikes me about all of this, think about the process that the Lord took Moses through in his first 80 years. All that preparation and testing. And then he brings him up on the mountain and makes him wait. Did you notice this? He makes him wait 6 more days.
Yeah, right.
How many are able to wait 6 minutes, let alone 6 days? I mean, when we were standing in the quiet this morning, was that glorious or what? Imagine waiting like that for 6 days for the Lord to speak. Not getting in the way of what he wanted to say, not wailing at the wall. This is not Moses interceding for the people yet. He's come because the Lord has called him up on the mountain to wait on him. So guys in the back, to wait 6 minutes for me to get done is like an eternity. But hang in there with me. Think about waiting for 6 days for the Lord to speak. And on the seventh day, he finally speaks. I mean, just think about that. Imagine that. The guy's gone through 80 years, 40 years of learning, 40 years of learning how to work. And finally, God says, "You're ready. Come up and let me give you something that you can really chew on. All right. And then he makes him wait.
Wow.
6 days. Again, it's another time of testing.
Sure.
Because God wants to make sure that Moses is the one. He wants to make sure that Moses is completely emptied of himself, completely emptied of all of the pride that came from that first 40 years of being learned and being able to tell his brothers, I know the way. Just let me tell you how to take care of things here. And him then, as a result, fleeing for 40 more years while God said, no, you're not really quite ready yet. Do you get the picture that God is not really in a hurry? He's just not that hung up on time. In fact, we sang about that this morning, isn't it? Didn't we? Time is in your hands, beginning and the end. Time is in your hands, Lord. 80 years is nothing to the Lord. Nothing. If he's going to spend that much time getting his servant Moses ready, how much time is he spending getting you ready?
Yeah, right on.
If he truly is Lord and owns us free and clear, then especially he owns our time.
Powerful. That's right.
And today, that is the biggest surrender of all, is our time. We are a society whose significance is made up by being busy. I've got so many appointments. I've got so many things to do. I'm here. I'm there. Aren't I important?
Sure.
No, I'm sorry. I can't meet with you for 3 weeks because my schedule is jam-packed. Moses cleared his entire calendar for 6 days. And finally, the last day, God spoke to him. And then it hits me. And this is the simple word that God gave me for you and for the church. Four simple words. There are no shortcuts.
Amen, brother.
The Lord wants you to know that what you've been going through as individuals, as families, indeed as a church, it's preparation. And as much as you wanted to have things happen in your time, as much as you've thought, surely this is the Lord's timing and this is the Lord's will, there are no shortcuts. Which makes the waiting, which actually the term waiting is an active verb. It makes the waiting that much sweeter when you realize there are no shortcuts.
That's good.
So many times throughout Scripture, you read the phrases, now it came to pass, or now it happened in the process of time. The good news is that it does come to pass. I mean, think about the day of Pentecost. Think about those who were in the upper room. It's anticipated that they were up in the upper room anywhere from 6 to 10 days after Jesus had come back from the dead and had revealed himself for 40 days. It's somewhere 6 to 10 days when he said, go and wait. Imagine, if you will, if you're one of those who said, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with this. I don't have any more time for this. I've got stuff to do. I've got people to see. I've got cattle to feed.
Why not?
I've got fish to catch. Whatever it is, I've got stuff to do. I'm done already. Come on, you guys. You've just been waiting here. How much of a waste of time is that to just wait on God? And so you bolt. You take off, and the very next day, the Holy Spirit descends.
Yeah, amen, brother. Amen.
Are we willing to wait? There are no shortcuts. When you know that you know, please hear me, when you know that you know that God has given you a word, a promise, and you know that you know this is the Lord, and soon after, all hell breaks loose, and circumstances make everything in your life appear to be just the opposite. And it seems everyone you hold dear is poo-pooing this dream of yours. And years go by. There are no shortcuts. But if it's God's dream for you, then it will come to pass. You can trust Him. When you truly surrender to Jesus and confess Him as your Savior and your Lord, and then He will be faithful to be Lord over every area of your life, even the stuff that you haven't quite surrendered yet after all these years. There are no shortcuts. But you can finally totally surrender and be completely free. When you were genuinely hurt and offended and wounded by someone else, someone you really trusted and looked up to, and you spent years holding judgment and unforgiveness toward that other person, only to realize that you're the only one in bondage.
Yeah, right. It's true.
Yeah, I'm true.
You're the only one in prison. And it's finally time to let go and release and forgive so you can be free. There are no shortcuts. But it is His will for you, and it will come to pass. You truly can finally forgive and be free.
It's good.
He loves you too much to let there be shortcuts. The day-to-day, the mundane, the preparation does matter. It absolutely determines our outcome. There are no shortcuts. Just ask the Seattle Seahawks. Ask our biblical mentors, Noah, Joseph, Moses, Ruth, Esther, David. He's anointed king, and he spends the next 10 years running for his life.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Paul, Jesus, or any of the original disciples. Well, in fact, coming back to Moses, think about Caleb and Joshua. They're part of the team that go out to spy out the land. They're out for 40 days. They come back with fruit that's big enough that they have to carry it between two guys on a big stick. I mean, that's huge fruit.
Yep.
They come back, and Caleb and Joshua are the only ones who give a good report. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's got giant fruit. Yes, there are giants in the land, but it's our land.
That's right.
We're going to possess it. We can do this. And they're shouted down by all of the others who went. So, Caleb and Joshua spend the next 40 years also wandering in the wilderness.
That's right.
But wait a second. They gave a good report. Shouldn't they be able to just be ushered right in? For some reason, God in His wisdom said, no, you're going to stay with your people. You're going to stay with your church that may not, that may have grumblers and complainers. People who just don't see God's best for us yet. And we're going to wander in the wilderness together for the next 40 years. The problem is, all of my brothers and sisters are going to die, but I get to enter the promised land because God showed me something and I can't wait to get there. But they still had to wait 40 years for their preparation as well. You remember Caleb? Remember the testimony that he had? He said, I'm 80 years old now, and I'm just as strong as when I was a young man.
Yep, we just read.
Did you just read that?
Just
oh, well, hallelujah. That's awesome. That's so confirming. That's so cool.
That's great.
I think God is more interested in the journey than He is in the destination.
Wow.
Because with us or without us, His kingdom is coming. You realize that? With us or without our cooperation, He's gonna do it. He's gonna have His way. There are no shortcuts. But be encouraged. It is coming to pass. In fact, think about a pregnancy. Moms, think about your pregnancies. And as much as you wanted that baby to come out before 9 months, you had to wait. You had to wait. And in the fullness of time, you push through to the blessing. If not, the baby will die. Thank you, Lord. Does this make sense to you this morning?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. I think I'm supposed to stop here. I think I'm supposed to... I think this is it. Yeah. I think this is it. Yeah. This morning, if you're having a hard time forgiving somebody, can Patty and I pray with you? If there's anybody who's having difficulty there, please don't dredge anything up or anyone up that you don't. I mean, it's got to be the Holy Spirit who prompted you when the word was coming forth this morning. But if there is somebody that you feel like I don't want to go another day, I don't want to go another minute without truly forgiving and releasing and being free from this prison that I've been in with my brother or my sister or my aunt or uncle or a co-worker or somebody, whatever it might be, I'm not going to try to pretend that I know. But I know that the Holy Spirit is good, isn't He?
Yes.
He's so good to bring it to our attention because he wants us to be free.
You bet.
And there have been no shortcuts. But today may be your day when you can finally release and forgive and let go. So, Patty, could you come up here and Pastor Kev, I'll trust your lead here, but thank you, Lord. If there's anybody that would like to do that, I just invite you to come on up, and we just want to pray with you today. Just want to agree together and see God set you free.
Amen.
Amen, right on.
Amen. Father, we just right now just seal the word. Lord, we trust you that what you've been taking us through all these years, that we can now thank you and not rebel or get frustrated with you, but we can thank you that you do own our time, that you absolutely have had us in the palm of your hand. There's nothing that's happened that you don't know about. We can trust you with everything in our journey. And Lord, we too trust it to come to pass.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Have it come to pass for Grace Christian. Have it come to pass for every family represented, for every individual in this room today,
yes.
For every person who hears this word.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray that it would come to pass.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Lord.
We believe you.
Let your freedom ring for your people.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
If the Lord has spoken to your heart, Brad and Patty will remain up here to pray for you. Because I know there are some times when relationships with others aren't right, and forgiveness does need to happen. And so if that's you, Brad and Pat, if you'd just stay right over here, over to this side, that'd be great. Just come on up and ask them to pray for you. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart and you know that you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, this is your day to do so. If you need healing in your body and you want the Lord to move upon you, we believe God is here to minister healing to his people. Come on up. Let's pray for you. And in fact, team, I'd like to make sure that if somebody comes to the altar, and those of you who are part of our Grace Christian Center team, we don't want them to go unprayed for. So if we're busy praying for somebody else, you see somebody, you come right on up and pray for them. God's people know how to pray and believe Amen. God to do good things. Amen?
Amen?
We've come to church not just to learn, not just to be informed, not just to be inspired, not just to have impartation, but to leave being transformed more like him than ever before. Amen. Hey, that was good preaching,
yeah.
Pastor Brad. Good stuff. I believe that word. I believe that's exactly right. Anybody in this room ever had frustration with the Lord trying to see something come to pass that you've believed him for? God knows you, doesn't he? He knows the perfect time. He knows your beginning and your end. And I love it. What he works out in us in the process is usually far, far more important than the destination itself. God's got great things in mind. Would you stand with me, church? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are God and you are great. We thank you, Lord, that you have good things in mind for your people, that you have people that you want to meet and set free this morning. And Lord Jesus, we trust you for doing a supernatural work right here this morning. We trust, we believe, we give you room, and we give you praise. We love you, Lord. Now bless those who have come here and gathered here in this place this morning, that when they go out this day, they'll go out changed, more like Jesus than ever before. And they'll carry forth your presence. You've birthed something even deeper inside this morning. And we go forth to bear fruit. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here for prayer, come right on up. Come right on up and see Brad and Patty. And if you need to forgive somebody this morning, you make your way right on up front. Don't waste time. Come on up and do it now so we can be praying for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray your blessing on these precious people who've gathered. Send them forward with joy in the name of Jesus. And they all said?
Amen.
We'll be back here next Sunday morning. Grace Gathering Wednesday night at 6:30. We'll see you then. God bless. Be released. Amen.